This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. As presidential candidates start turning up in Michigan these next few weeks, keep your ears open for the things they're saying about the auto industry and the environment. Many of the Democratic contenders have been talking about how they'd like to encourage carmakers to speed up the move toward cleaner fuels, most especially electric vehicles. And President Trump has had plenty to say on the subject. Bridge Magazine just published an article detailing how the candidates are talking about this and how voters might be reacting. With us today is Jonathan Oesting, political reporter from Bridge. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm well, April. Thanks for having me.
And Barry Rabe is with us as well. He's a professor of public policy at the Ford School for Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Professor Rabe, hi.
Hi, April. Good to see you.
Jonathan, for starters, can you give us a sense of how specific the candidates are getting about this?
Well, there's a lot of room, I guess, policy to flesh out still when it comes to the auto industry. But the basic underlying premise is that most of the candidates want to set either a target or a mandate for a fully electric or at least zero emission vehicle fleet that would be new sales by either 2030 or 2035. So folks like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are aiming for 2030. But even more moderate candidates like Mike Bloomberg, who, of course, has done a lot on the environment and climate change, he wants to have a zero emission standard in place by 2035. Zero emission standard would be a mandate. Essentially, automakers could no longer sell internal combustions by that time, which is, only 15 years away.
Right. Barry, why is this a risky sell for candidates coming to Michigan?
You know, every state has its unique industry and questions that are a little different. If we were in Pennsylvania, we'd probably be talking about fracking and natural gas. But Michigan, we talk about cars, vehicles, the future of the American auto manufacturing and assembly industry. Big, big issue here. So when we talk about changes from historic emphasis on internal combustion engines for cars and trucks to electric vehicles, especially on the kind of timetable that some of the candidates are discussing, that's potentially a very exciting transition for Michigan, but also challenging because it's going to mean major, major shifts in how Ford, GM, but also other firms are engaging this field.
Guys, if you go to any of the auto shows, it feels like the entire auto industry sometimes is talking about nothing but electrification and hybrid models and full electric models that they're working on. This is happening. How much faster are the candidates urging people to go? I mean, Jonathan, do you have much of a sense of what how if they're talking about something that's more accelerated than the industry wants to do?
Yeah, it's certainly more accelerated than the current pace anyways. I mean, certainly automakers in Detroit and other parts of the country are talking about an all-electric future. GM is very upfront talking about their all-electric plans. But they don't have a hard, deadline for when they want to get there, which is what the Democratic candidates are proposing. I talked to some experts who gave me some projections. Right now, in the U.S., only 7% of light vehicles produced in the U.S. last year were electric or hybrids. At the current pace, by 2026, that number would jump to about 22.5%. But even by 2040, so beyond the target Democrats are talking about, projections say a majority of vehicles being produced by the Detroit automakers would still be internal combustion engines. So the automakers are definitely moving towards an electric future, but they're a long way off and not on the pace that Democratic candidates are talking about right now.
Are either of you getting a sense of how voters might be reacting to these proposals?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think a lot of attention has been paid to this issue. Candidates, the auto provisions have been sort of swept up in larger conversations about climate change and these huge and expensive plans to transition the entire U.S. economy towards a clean energy future. And so, part of my reporting was to shed light on some of these plans that I don't think have been discussed, but could certainly get a lot more attention here in the next couple weeks as candidates start coming to Michigan. I expect most, if not all, of the candidates will be here after Super Tuesday and that week before our March 10 primary.
Right. Some of the recent auto industry contracts to be negotiated are starting to reflect an understanding that older plants making traditional vehicles using more employees will not be needed. GM is updating the Hamtramck plant for electric vehicles. I wonder if this really will be news to union voters and others who have a stake in the auto industry. I mean, Barry, what do you think?
It's begun to register as a union concern. we know that the manufacturing of electric vehicles will require somewhat less labor than internal combustion. Exactly how much is to be debated. Obviously, that's going to be significant in the manufacturing sector in a state like this one. And so that really is a key consideration for those constituencies. As you note, the new investment initiatives in Michigan by GM, Ford, will play a role and help bridge that transition. But actually moving from concept to implementation is a different kind of an issue and challenge here. And so probably not registering in a very significant way, but beginning to kind of creep up in a lot of communities.
Can you catch us up on what stance the Trump administration has taken on electrification?
It's pretty complicated because, in part, the day after inauguration, the major vehicle manufacturers, including all based in Michigan, spoke with the president and asked the president to relax what the Obama administration had done in terms of fuel economy and emission standards, which directly then relate to the arrival of EVs. It's possible that the Trump administration went farther than those manufacturers wanted, rejecting the California waiver provision, which was accelerating the shift to greater fuel economy and possibly opening a window. And now we actually have a split amongst the vehicle manufacturers. Ford Motor broke from the other companies, quietly started negotiating with California, earning the outrage of the Trump administration and actually an antitrust suit, which has since been dropped now by the Department of Justice. By contrast, when we talk about GM, Fiat Chrysler, and others, they are linked with the president's position to go very, very cautiously or conservatively in terms of accelerating those fuel economy increases through 2026. So we have a split industry here and really the possibility of a prolonged court battle in what would be a classic set of legal cases over the next few years unless there's a clarification in the policy.
Jonathan, I was wondering if you could take us a little bit further into where Bernie Sanders stands on this. He pulled off a big upset win in 2016 in Michigan, and he's been having a good run so far in primaries in some of the early states, the Iowa caucuses, Nevada caucuses, and the New Hampshire primary. What's Bernie Sanders saying about how soon the industry should electrify?
Well, Bernie Sanders is definitely out front on this as part of his Green New Deal initiative. He wants all electric vehicles sold to be electric by 2030. He's proposing very large spending initiatives to get there. He wants to spend $100 billion on research and development to reduce the cost of electric vehicles because he wants them to be able to be sold for $18,000 or less, sort of reducing right now what is a barrier to entry because of a higher cost for a lot of consumers. Beyond that, he's proposing $2 trillion in grants to help low and moderate income families and small businesses make that transition to electric vehicles, and then a separate $681 billion trade-in program to get older cars off the road, and one more, an $85.6 billion spending initiative to build a network of electric vehicle charging stations to build out that network anyways across the country. So he's got the most detailed and aggressive plan, I would say, but also clearly the most expensive.
I feel like some of the higher-end brands like Cadillac that are talking about taking their fleets all electric with a specific date have been throwing out timelines like 2040. And it sounds like what Bernie Sanders is proposing would be considerably faster than that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, all of the candidates talking about 2030 or 2035 are accelerated ahead of where the auto industry is headed right now. I mean, even if one brand moves to electric by 2040, that doesn't mean the full industry is going to, which is what they're proposing. Now, of course, you know, the spending that folks like Bernie Sanders are talking about could help, accelerate that transition. There's no doubt about that. Of course, the devil will be in the details, what they're actually able to pass with Congress, what their, you know, the spending initiatives they're actually able to get through, the taxes that might have to be raised. But just think about cost real quick. I mean, when you talked about GM, you know, their Hamtramck facility moving, retooling for electric vehicle production, that facility alone is going to cost $2.2 billion to convert. So think about all the plants in Michigan or across the country that would have to undergo similar transitions. Not to mention the suppliers in Michigan. Michigan's a big internal combustion, you know, powertrain state. There's a lot of suppliers that make parts that go into those engines that we produce here. So it'd be a big deal for Michigan.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Jonathan Oesting of Bridge Magazine and Barry Rabe, a professor at the Ford School for Public Policy at the University of Michigan. And we're talking about what some of the candidates are saying on the campaign, on the presidential campaign trail, about the auto industry, electrification, and the future. Jonathan, that does sound like an awfully big lift, and maybe it's important to remember. I think Jonathan, you said in terms of market share, electrics are only 7% of what was made in the U.S. For the last year, right? Did I hear that?
Yeah, and purchases are even less right now. They're about 2% in the U.S. So U.S. automakers are making more electric vehicles than they're necessarily selling here. Part of that is because, you know, they sell them abroad, and a lot of countries have taken more aggressive approaches to electric or vehicle emission regulation. So, you know, a lot of vehicles today are built on a global platform, and some of the transition that we've seen from Detroit automakers and others is an acknowledgement of stricter standards, including you know, countries with a carbon tax, for instance, that are doing more to move away from carbon-emitting vehicles.
Right. It sounds like if we can just break away from the campaign trail for a minute, there's transition for places, things in Michigan beyond just the auto industry. Barry Rabe, what should Michigan be thinking about to get ready for this? California has been such a big player, literally moving the needle in the American public policy debate about this. But what models are you looking to as we think about a more electrified Michigan?
Well, it's interesting to think about places around the world that may be doing this in a much more aggressive and successful way thus far. And, of course, right across the border in Canada, the government there is moving toward a national $50 a ton carbon price across the country, including transportation fuels. That will increase gasoline prices, which generally tend to be higher than they are in the United States, and possibly driving the shift toward electric vehicles. I do think the most interesting case around the world is Norway. Like Michigan, a big, vast place, a lot of cities, but lots of remote areas where there's lots of driving. And Norway is now moving toward a 60% purchase rate, new vehicles coming from electric power. But it's a combination of policies.
60%?
60%. They've been over 50% in recent years.
Like within the next, they're already over 50%. So 60% is not that far off.
And they really have a clear plan to get, if not at 100, close to it in the coming years.
How did they do it?
This reflects a series of policies coming together, some of which are in the proposals that Jonathan was just talking about. Substantial subsidies to give tax credits and incentives to those who are purchasing vehicles. Extensive expenditures on infrastructure, roads, charging stations, and all the rest. Using government revenues, and in a country where the budget is in balance, there are substantial revenues available for this. The final piece, though, has been, like Canada, but on a much more aggressive platform, a willingness to put a price on carbon. Since the early 1990s, Norway has had one of the world's highest carbon taxes. It's applied directly to fuels. It's even applied to methane releases from the production of oil and gas in Norway. This is a huge, huge factor because it means in Norway, gasoline prices are currently about $6.25 a gallon. When you combine that with the subsidies, the incentives, and the infrastructure, that's an absolutely massive bringing together of policies. The only state in the union that comes remotely close to this is California, which is still struggling in all of these areas. It's a much more driver-centric culture, and fuel prices are nowhere near what they are in Norway, even though they're higher there than they are in Michigan. So I do think if one's going to do this, it's the combination of these policies that are popular, maintained over time, understood, and really implemented despite partisan shifts in government. And so that kind of challenge for the U.S. is a tough model to replicate, but an interesting model to at least think about.
What would be the effect on Michigan's economy of such massive shifts in policy?
It would be betting the future much more on renewable energy, because to produce fuel for all those additional vehicles, that means you're producing electricity and hopefully drawing it from renewables. One of the pieces I didn't mention in the Norway case is that they get over 80% of their electricity from hydro, which they've had for a long time. They have an abundance of electricity. So there is this issue and challenge for Michigan, and also I think for our manufacturers, people who work in this field, is Michigan primarily focusing on working within a Midwestern or a national audience, or are they really looking toward international markets and production? As Jonathan noted, Europe and Asia are moving toward carbon pricing regimes, carbon restriction regimes, their own EV mechanisms. And so when we think about the future of our big manufacturers here, are they really principally focused on what the USA is going to be doing over the next 10 or 15 years, or those international markets, which are enticing, but then you get into all the messy stuff like trade and tariffs and the future relationship between the United States and those countries?
Jonathan, if I can come back to you for a minute, mm-hmm. I know in the story you spend a little time thinking about recent trade agreements and how they might square with what the candidates are saying. What did you find?
Well, you know, in terms of electric vehicles, you know, it's more broad-based. I mean, the industry, right, was upended when Trump suddenly, not upended, but put on notice when Trump said he was going to renew the North American Free Trade Agreement. Now, that just created a whole lot of uncertainty for the auto industry, which certainly, you know, if it was suddenly asked to adopt stringent EV timelines, would again create uncertainty. The China deal, there was a first phase deal, but, you know, it's unresolved for the long term. And that still, again, creates uncertainty. And when manufacturers are talking about making huge investments to retool facilities, what they want is clear directives, something that's stable, that they know is going to be in place for the future. So I think that's sort of, you know, how this plays in.
Jonathan Oesting is a political reporter with Bridge Magazine. Bridge's most recent article about the campaign trail, the auto industry, and the environment can be found with a link at our website. We've also been talking with Barry Rabe, professor at the Ford School for Public Policy at the University of Michigan. Gentlemen, thank you both for coming in and talking to us about this. This is a really interesting subject. I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about it over the next 3 weeks.
Thanks so much.